Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
By the way, the Trending Now is brought to you by Always Health Partners. That's Always Health Partners here on WEEI. And the weather was brought to you by Northeast Electrical Distributors. So we still have people on the lines that want to talk Celtics.
How's your agita doing here?
My agita?
Yeah.
My agita's okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'm all right. I've been worse. I'm okay. I'm not frustrated. I just looked at the text line and I realized that listeners
Oh, that's always good for the agita.
Oh, I know. But listeners are more frustrated with Mike. Apparently, Mike calls all week with the same stats over and over and over again, according to the texters. Here's one. The guy Mike called Dalen Keefe on Friday with the exact same stats and got blown up, I'm pretty sure. You guys gave him way too long on the air, Drellick.
What are you blaming me for? You got the freaking mouse.
Does Mike from North Providence have a blank in life? He calls five times a day with the same spiel. Isn't there a limit?
If you're texting in, number one, if you're texting in, number two, if you're texting in about listening to another show and then to this show, we thank you for your listenership, but you can't be criticizing somebody else for not having a life. That's not the judgment you're allowed to make at that point.
Let's go to Jesse in a car and see if he has a life. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
I was listening to the other caller about Jaylen Brown, and I'm in agreement with him. I think he should be getting more playing time and starting on the first unit. I never thought Kyrie was a great for this team as a shoot-first point guard, but if he has Tatum and Brown as his first two options, you know, Kyrie has a third option to shoot. If that's not there, go underneath to Al Horford. I like that better than Gordon Hayward starting in the starting lineup. I mean, Hayward right now, he's down to 10.8 points per game from 21.9 when he's with Utah. And if he's in the second unit, I think he'll get more shots. He'll play against easier opponents and, he'll have a more balanced life.
Well, let's look at last night's game for that, okay? When you say he's in the second unit and he'll get more shots, I want to pull up the box score. Just give me 1 second because for as much as I spewed off the stats about how there were seven guys in double figures and Kyrie was interested in distributing the ball and he had 12 assists and they had an 11-point win and they finally, and I give them credit. I really do. I don't care how bad Washington is. They were breaking a four-game losing streak. So a win is a win is a win in that situation. It's tough to win in any pro sport.
Well, but if you're talking about spinning it forward and what do you take away and how much does it matter, I don't think you can discount the fact that it's Washington.
No, I'm not. But it's less important that it's Washington and more important that they got a win.
Right.
Is my point.
How they got the win. Yes.
Okay. So to your point, Jesse, specifically about Gordon Hayward, minutes last night, Kyrie led with 34, Smart had 30, Tatum had 31, Morris 27, Horford 29, Jaylen Brown 27, Gordon Hayward 24. So he was sixth in the team in minutes, right? Shots taken. Marcus Morris led the Celts with 17. He had 7 of 17, 3 three-pointers. Kyrie took 15, was 6 of 15. Al Horford took 11, was 7 of 11, and led the Celtics last night with 18 points. Jason Tatum took 13, hit 4. Too many nights for him.
How happy is Al Horford, by the way? Nobody is talking about average Al anymore.
Right.
Nobody.
Gordon Hayward, in 24 minutes, 2 shots, 0 for 2.
He's being selfless.
I'm just nitpicking your statement that you said, blah, 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 this and that, and then Gordon Hayward coming off the bench gets more opportunities. He had 24 minutes. He took 2 shots. He scored 3 points last night. How does that happen?
Yeah, he's definitely not living up to his contract. I guess,
Well, I'm not necessarily pointing it all at him. How does he take 2 shots? How does the offense exist that either what Brad Stevens is calling or the way he's in the flow of the offense where he only takes 2 shots in 24 minutes, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I thought he was getting at least 10. And he's down, I think, 33% for his three-point shooting percentage, down from 40% when he was with Utah. So
yeah, but the Utah stats aren't even relevant anymore. They're only relevant when he gets completely healthy and we start to compare his role with the Celtics with his role with Utah. And even that's not comparable because he was the man in Utah, and I don't think he'll ever be the man with the Celtics. Do you?
Depends. You know, I think Kyrie dishing the ball last night, I mean, there's a lot of scores on the Celtics, so I think him being more pass-first point guard and then looking for a shot when it's open is going to help the team more than him, you know, just running the, you know, scoring all the points.
Well, it did last night, and he seemed thrilled about it after the game, too, didn't he?
Yeah, you know, I thought a point guard like Chris Paul, like, you know, Chris Paul like would have been better for this team and how they're set up right now than Kyrie Irving. But, you know, Kyrie's a good player. He could do well in the playoffs. Anyway, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks for the call, Jesse. I don't know that. Again, we can read a million things into stats, but doesn't that surprise you? Two shots for Gordon Hayward last night.
It does.
17.
But we're praising Kyrie for
17 shots for Marcus Morris.
Well, look, on a
he hit seven of them.
Is your takeaway from last night's game that they have figured something out, or they haven't? Because if you're now going to say that something was off with Gordon Hayward, then you're not happy.
No, my takeaway with the two shots for Gordon Hayward is this. On a night when they were struggling, had a four-game losing streak, and they're playing one of the worst teams in the league, if you're going to be a negative person, your thought is, damn it, we can't lose to this team. It's like being on the golf course and have a negative swing thought. Don't hit it into the water. Oh, that's good, right? But in a night when they did that, for whatever reason, Kyrie decided to be a distributor. He had 12 assists. I don't know if that's a season. I don't know. No, he had one with 17 or 18, but 12 assists. They had seven players in double figures. Gordon Hayward was not one of them, and he played 24 minutes.
Well, look, maybe Gordon didn't feel like he had the right looks that he wanted. Maybe,
okay.
You know, like,
well, how many assists?
Just because he didn't end up taking shots does not necessarily mean
he had four assists. So in situations where maybe he could have taken a shot, he ended up dishing to guys that got points four times.
But if Washington's game plan might have been, we're not going to let Gordon Hayward beat us. I mean, he's looked good lately.
I watched all that game. I find that a little hard to believe.
Probably right.
But
you're probably right.
Anyway, I don't know. I mean, I honestly think with Hayward, when you get down to brass tacks, it's a mulligan year, unfortunately, for the Celtics.
Well, that was one of the worst assumptions that people had coming back into this year, was that he would just be the same guy, you know, and that everybody would be the same. That whatever you got from Tatum and Brown, they would only get better.
Think about that logic, though, and I agree with you, that everybody was going to be the same. This team, with Gordon Hayward, with Kyrie Irving in meaningful games, had never played together before, yet they were going to be the same. I'm not criticizing you. I think your choice of words is interesting because I think most people felt that. Well, oh my God, they went to the seventh game. They were 10 minutes away from going to the NBA Finals without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward.
So they'll just get better.
Obviously, they'll be better.
That's the only choice.
No, they're different. They're not better. They're different.
And the thing that does matter here more than the other sports, I'll go back to what I said earlier in the show, chemistry in basketball, and somebody could tell me if they think I'm wrong, but I think it's the sport where it probably matters the most. It obviously has an impact everywhere. I don't think talent ever takes a back seat to chemistry, but I'd be more worried about bad chemistry on a basketball team than I would a baseball team.
Mm. Let's go to Gene in Newton. Hi, Gene.
Hi there. Enjoying your program.
You're the one.
The fact that Kyrie gave a lot of assists last night. And I was interested in the three-point shooting because didn't Marcus Smart hit 4 of 4 from threes?
Smart did hit 4 of 4 from threes, yes.
And it makes me wonder, you know, as far as how the shots are contested, they almost dared Smart to shoot because he's not known to be a shooter.
I'll give Smart his due last night, though, especially I read his post-game comments, and it was all about fun and it was all about the team. He went 6 of 7 in his shooting. He went 4 of 4 in three-pointers. And if you watch the game, to my recollection, the majority of those shots were either when the clock was winding down or he wasn't the primary option. He wasn't the Marcus Smart where people rolled his eyes just in the Portland game where he took a shot and everybody went, oh, my goodness, that he took that. So it was within the offense. I think, no pun intended, or maybe it is, I think Smart is a very smart player. I really do.
Uh-huh.
I think defensively his instincts are off the charts. I think I've seen very few players who have the defensive instincts that he has and are able to act on them with his athletic ability. But I don't think he gets enough enough credit. I'm not saying he's a great offensive player, but for being a smart offensive player most of the time, and I think last night is a good example. By the way, they were 10 of 35 on threes. Jason Tatum, 0 for 5. And while I said Marcus Morris led them with 17 shots, 11 of them were three-pointers. 3 of 11 for three-pointers. Should Marcus Morris on this team be taking 11 three-pointers?
No. And no reason for that.
I mean, the closest guy was Jaylen Brown. He was 1 of 6.
So that's why if you're looking at attempts. so that's something to watch going forward when you're playing a team that's better than Washington.
Oh, that'll be tomorrow at 3:30.
Yeah, exactly. You feel good about it on one hand, but the more Butch that you explore this now, you understand why there's reason not to feel great. It is about how you win. When you're playing
a bad
team.
Well, at this point, hold on, Gene. I'll let you go. At this point, with 19 games to go, I disagree with you a little bit. It is about how you play, but it's about just winning right now. It's about building something leading into the playoffs. Again, I'll say it before. It's less about seeding. It's more about who you are.
Not momentum,
but
cohesion.
However you want to put it, they got to feel good about themselves in 6 weeks from now, wherever they're seeded. They got to feel good about themselves, or they're not going to win any playoff games, never mind on the road, which they're going to have to do with the seed that they do have. Go ahead, Gene. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I just hope they continue tomorrow as they were last night. And good analysis, guys. Talk to you later.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Ben in Maine, who's up. Where are you in Maine, Ben?
Kenny Bunkport.
Very nice.
Yes. So back to the Hayward thing, you know, 24 minutes, lack of production. It all comes down to Stevens not allowing the guy to come off the bench, take a break, get into the flow. He was thrown in like, you're my best buddy, give me a hug, here you go, you're going to be great. And I really think Stevens screwed up with his psyche. I think that his issues evolve on that.
You're talking about at the beginning of the year when he just anointed him a starter and went back into it?
Right, and then said, hey, no, guess what,
I'm going to disagree with you, but the evidence proves me wrong, meaning that it didn't work. I mean, whatever he did didn't work for where we're at with Gordon Hayward right now. But I liked the idea at the time. I liked the idea of saying, okay, we're going to start at the top. We gave you big money. We're going to make a commitment to you. We know you're not the same player, but we're going to give you the starting minutes off the top. We're going to build some confidence in you. And by the way, he might have went to Jaylen Brown, and maybe Jaylen was too immature to handle it, and said, listen, Jaylen, you're going to be better served, and we're going to be better served with you coming off the bench with a matchup with a second unit on the other team and you taking advantage of your strengths doing that. Neither one of them worked, so I'm wrong, at least by results.
In the sense of maybe Brad should have gone and backed off earlier. And maybe that would help with the chemistry of the team. Like, put your foot down, like, dang, after 10 games this isn't working. Let us go to the bench, let us work something out. And now the team kind of has this, well, the coach can let us do whatever he wants because he can coach young guys and he lets us play and play video games. And it's almost like Kyrie is Fortnite for the Red Sox.
Well, I don't think there was really a choice when it comes to Gordon Hayward.
Because did you hear that line? Kyrie is Fortnite for the Red Sox.
Hey, they won the World Series with a bunch of Fortnite tournament competitors, right? They're like, clearly it helped them.
Sorry, Ben. I'll let you go.
With Hayward and how Stevens worked him back in, there's a few things there. One, we talk about the chemistry. You do have to keep the locker room to some degree. If Brad Stevens had, off the top, not given Gordon Hayward his kind of due deference as a veteran and the reputation he has, well, now you're asking for a locker
room
problem.
And the money.
With everything that goes into it, and you see this all the time, even if it's not the best moment or best choice inside of the given moment, you're making a long-term choice there.
Right.
You let your veteran get the at-bat as a baseball manager because, well, that's what you do. And, you know, could that come back to bite you at some point? Yes, but I think the happiness does outweigh at some point, particularly early in a regular season, the other things. When you're coming off that kind of injury and everything is different and strange, if you're Gordon Hayward, what's the thing that's going to get you back to who you're going to be? And even if he isn't what everybody hoped he would be this year, the only way it's going to happen is some semblance of normalcy in playing time.
You bring up an interesting point because Jimmy Williams and
I often do.
Jimmy Williams and Terry Francona, for example, were known for that. Terry Francona hung with Kevin Millar during some of the darkest black holes I've ever seen, but it paid off for him because when he needed him, he was there for him. But here's my question. When you think about that, sticking with a veteran or doing this or that, you talked a lot today about team chemistry. I think when a team is right, that stuff works well for a team. We've watched what Gordon Hayward's gone through. We're rooting for him as much as everybody. We're going to live with the bad stuff. We support what Brad's doing as a team. I'm not around the team long enough. I'm not qualified to answer this, but I wonder how that plays. I'm not saying they don't like Gordon Hayward, but if they were going to live with as a team Gordon Hayward's struggles, and that's a part of the fabric of this team, they'd be rooting for that guy. You know what I'm saying? They'd be like, when the moment's right, we're going to trust Gordon Hayward to hit the big shot because he's done it before. He's been in this league for 7 years. Not so much that they've given him the big money, but not so much that I'm
treat
a young
it
guy.
Like a family. Rally around the guy. Care about the individual. Yada, yada.
I know it gets boring, but when teams
but
have,
it's true.
When it is, that's my point. When teams have chemistry, it is true.
Yes.
Right? When they win, that did work.
But
you stuck with Gordon, and we saw what you were doing.
Yeah, but you have young, hungry guys who look at and say, well, look, I can do this. I can do better than what he is right now. And you know, maybe Hayward does play into some of that's one kernel in what's grown here, the discontent or the kind of lack of being on the same page. But Danny Ainge the other day when he was on with Dale Keefe, he did make a point to say that behind the scenes, this is a family.
Yes.
Now, I think Keith
because
right away
throw a pizza party.
Yeah, right. When Ainge got off the phone, I think they very quickly were like, "Yeah, everybody clearly loves each other so much." It does feel like a bit of a stretch to think that everybody's getting along yet they don't have the chemistry on the court. There's got to be some bleed over there. You know, it can't just be that they're taking all these shortcuts that Brad Stevens talks about, and it has nothing to do with what's going on behind the scenes.
Dick's in Rhode Island has a thought on Gordon Hayward. Hi, Dick.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen.
How are you?
So, good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Awesome. So, Gordon Hayward, last night, really frustrating to watch. Two shots. Guy with so much talent. You know, if it involves Brad Stevens and the offensive game plan, then that's extra frustrating. But I was watching his Utah. I know it's Utah. It's different team, different opponents. But watching him see a seam, hit it hard with speed and strength. He sees a defender, a down low defender on his right side. He switches the ball to his left, jumps up, crams it with his left hand, and you're not seeing any of that intensity whatsoever this year. I don't know if it's an injury, what it is. Unfortunately, I'm bringing a problem without a solution, but it is kind of...
He'd be perfect in the media.
Dick, no, but it's a good point, and I mean, my simple answer would be, and again, I haven't studied enough film to see this, but it's hops. It's still the injury. He's not the same player he was back then. You're right. I mean, and guys looked honestly different in a different uniform at times. He looked a lot quicker when he was in a Utah uniform. But again, coming off that injury, there were times where he would drive ambidextrously right or left to the hoop and jam with his left hand, jam with his right. You haven't seen a lot of that this year with him.
I hope we see it next year, gentlemen.
Yeah, I do too. I mean,
it's not over yet, people. Jesus.
Well, I hope they see it too. And by the way, we're going to take a quick break when we come back. I am going to dazzle you with some Celtics numbers. I'm just going to dazzle you with a couple.
Can we read the box score just from top to bottom?
Yes, let's do that.
Just read every bit of the box score. And then, Butch, we've got to go into the schedule just to make everybody
happy. You know the Celtics were 10-10 after 20 games. Evan Drellick, Butch Stearns, more after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Pizza party, we think, could be a big help.
Have you guys
for
thought about that at all? Maybe a pizza party?
I have not. Well, we actually have thought of that, but
there you go.
I'm not sure.
What are you waiting for?
Those are not our issues. Like our guys get along really well. They have shooting games. They play ping pong. They play video games. They do all that kind of stuff. Our issues are more on the court, and I'm confident that just with some determination and sacrifice, and that we can find that resolve that we need.
Some good interviews on WEEI this week. That was Danny Ainge.
Was he kidding when he said
with
we
Dale
had thought
Keith.
Of that? Was that just Danny Ainge being dry?
That's a lot.
Saying that
we have thought of that.
We have thought of having a pizza party? Was he just being cute?
Oh, maybe they like pizza. They're young guys.
Like some sort of sponsored event? I was trying to figure out what he meant by that.
I'm trying to think of who the biggest pizza sponsor is.
Regina or something like that? So I think the Red Sox have, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, pizza's not really a New England thing. Sorry, folks.
You get this line.
They used to Papagino's at Fenway.
Papagino's, right. That's the other one.
Speaking of interesting interviews, there was an interesting one late last night with Patrick Gilroy.
Yeah, I was listening. Good job by Gilroy. It's actually a pretty good get. And we're talking about Gordon Hayward, and he had Gordon Hayward's agent, Mark Bartlestein, on.
You just had dinner with him last week. Is Gordon still happy here in Boston?
Sure. I think, for Gordon, the biggest thing right now is he's just, every day is process for him. He's trying to regain, all his explosiveness. He's trying to regain all of his confidence. He's still trying to fit in to a role that he's never been, quite frankly, not used to. So there's a lot for him to handle, and he's working through it. And I think all things considered, I think he's doing terrific. And there's certain nights where it's not a, I wouldn't say it's a straight linear line in terms of his progress. I think we've all seen through the season where he's a far better player and more, more assertive today than he was, back in October, November, but it's not a straight line. He's going to take big steps forward and then it'll level off and then he'll take steps forward again.
See, that's, again, I go back to the going into the season. Why did fans and media, I remember being in here and saying, well, how do we know he'll come back from the injury perfectly ready to go? That he'll be the guy he was pre-injury.
Well,
so that's the answer why he's not taking his shots, because he's not right.
Well, it's his agent, too. He's obviously got a biased opinion.
What he said right there, you evaluate that and go, that doesn't make sense? I mean, that makes
total
sense.
No, it makes sense. Here's what else he went on to say. There's no doubt in my mind, Mark Bartlestein said to Patrick Gilroy last night. My guess is Gordon doesn't get his game all the way back where we're accustomed to seeing until next year. He's going to need a summer to get back in the gym, get back in the laboratory, in the weight room, and build on everything he did last year. But there's not a doubt in my mind he'll be an all-star in this league many, many times over. Spoken like a guy that has his back, obviously. He's his agent. But you're right. He's given his assessment of he's not there yet.
But doesn't that make sense? You have major injury. You're coming back. You're feeling your way through it. And maybe it takes you a year to get back. And
that doesn't mean
game one next year that he's ready to go. Maybe it's game 20. Maybe
not
it's
his
10.
Fault. I'm not trying to be callous or cruel when I say this. But Gordon Hayward's struggles have only added to the chemistry problems on this team. I would imagine, I'm just guessing, I don't think this is too much of a limb, that young guys like Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier and others are saying, so why does he deserve minutes over me, really? Look what this guy's doing, right?
Yeah, but at some point here, now down the stretch, I think the deference you show him early in the year has to kind of go by the wayside. If everybody accepts that Gordon Hayward's just not going to be the same, then you do have to figure out how you exist and move on without him being
again,
that guy. He's still in your plan, but you don't use him the way you intended or wanted to.
If you're a team, in the true definition of a team, if you're playing for each other, Dale made this point. And it was
I thought they're playing for the city. Or are they playing for the contract?
Playing on the name on the front of the jersey and not the back.
Okay, I got it.
But if you're that guy, and Dale made this point, and in fairness, it was a good one. If you're Zdeno Chara and the widow of Mark Chesna, the cop from Weymouth who was killed, is out there with the two kids, and Charlie Coyle's first home game as a Bruin, who's from Weymouth, and you go down the bench and say, you take this moment. This is your moment. That's your hometown. That's just a little indicator of the team that does have a togetherness. And I haven't seen a lot of that from the Celtics. But in fairness, I haven't been around them. But the Gordon Hayward thing, what I'm bringing up, making that analogy, is if you're a team, you're actually rooting for the guy to get better. You're actually stomaching maybe unselfishly some of the more minutes that he's playing because you know it's on to a better thing for the good of the team, I guess.
Doing something that isn't helping the team is something I think most players can stomach only for a limited amount of time. You can understand it for a bit, but at a certain point it becomes, let's do what's best for winning on this night. And that's where the Celtics have to be at now.
Yep. Let's go to Bob in a car who's next. Hi, Bob. You're on with Butch and Evan.
Hi, guys. Thanks for letting me join the conversation. I really enjoy listening to you guys. Speaking of about leadership on the Celtics, about Kyrie, what you just said about Chara, that's leadership right there. That's showing your teammates how to get things done. Just to speak on that comment real quick. But my comment is now is watching him play last night, Kyrie, that being, and I was listening to the Antoine Walker conversation with Mark this afternoon on my lunch hour, is that it seems like last night that Kyrie was being more of what the type of point guard he is by just dishing the ball out, getting other players involved. And Antoine was saying that he's not a leader, but he's a finisher. So I think, you know, it looked good in the first half, maybe going to the third quarter, of have Kyrie just dish the ball out. And then when the wheel meets the road, it's time for him to take over and finish the game. I'm going to hang up now and listen to you guys' comments on that. And thanks for letting me speak.
Well, I mean, I'll go back to my first comment on it is the comment Danny Ainge made. We played the cut earlier that being able to take the big shot, being able to command defenses, command double teams and being able to be in the moment and lead your team in scoring is part of leadership. It is, being that guy. Baseball's a whole different sport, but being the guy that's saying, I want to be up in that at bat. I want them to throw to me. I want them to pitch to me. I do not want to be walked in that situation. That is part of leadership.
Yeah, I just, the whole idea of taking a blueprint of a game and saying, you know, this is something, you know, this is something we can build off of, and this is the roadmap we can follow going forward, you know, in any of these sports. These guys will tell you it is every single night and inside of every single game about adjustments.
Well, that's the Patriot thing.
The Patriots don't give a damn whether they win
13-12 or 41-6. While we all sit there and say, oh, they have problems. I know they won, but look at the problems. They don't give a damn. For them, a win is a win is a win, and it's true. They've lived it. They've built under Bill Belichick, they've lived it for 18 years.
You can have shared principles between different wins and different periods of time in the season, but to sit there and go, okay, that's the formula. There's never a formula. It really doesn't exist that simply. You want to say there's a formula in a very broad way that Kyrie needs to
be. I'll disagree, and I'll give you a stat that disagrees. How often did we all mention the Red Sox record when they jumped ahead last year? What were they, 84-1 heading into the playoffs or something?
That's true all throughout baseball. Score first, you have a better chance of winning.
Okay, but they took it to a different degree last year. So there was a formula for them winning last year. For winning 108 games, the most ways they did it was jump out early and just sit back and cruise for the rest of the game, mostly.
But were they jumping, like they wanted to jump out early?
I'm only nitpicking your point that there isn't a formula to winning. For some teams, there is. What is your point about bringing up that there isn't a formula?
Because
you're saying it's dangerous to say, oh, now we've got the formula? Look at how we won last night?
Exactly.
So that's okay, I'll agree.
It doesn't
with
make
you
sense.
That.
Especially with
19 games to go.
The way Eamon typed it in was, you know, the caller was saying there's a blueprint going forward. And I think that's one of those common things on a day to day game basis that all of us in the media ask is, you know, can you carry this forward? Yeah, a little bit. But realistically, every game and inside of every game is so different.
Let's go to this call.
You don't
call.
Like that point.
I do like that point. I'm just enamored with this call that is. It sounds like it's a big Evan Drellick fan.
I might have to throw this one to you.
It's a big Evan Drellick fan.
You might have to answer
fan.
This one for me
contractually. Mike, is your last name Drellick?
No, it's not.
Okay.
No, it's not. But I have enjoyed reading Evan, the Herald and MSNBC there, whatever, NBC Boston. So I'm wondering, Evan, are you going to be
me and Rachel Maddow.
Are you covering the Red Sox this year at all? Or
the only way I'd be covering them right now is if I'm freelancing somewhere or if EEI has me out there to do, I don't know, Red Sox postgame or something.
That sucks. That sucks. What the hell's going on over there? They get rid of McAdam. They get rid of that Fryer kid. They get rid of you now. What's all about this?
Mike, I can't tell you, and that's contractually and otherwise. I don't know. You know, they're trying, like a lot of other media companies, to find a way to make money. It's a business. It's a nasty business sometimes, but I don't know, man. If I knew, I'd probably still be there, right?
Well, you, Sean, McAdam, Nick Fryer, you guys, they're some great baseball guys. It sucks. Good luck to you this year. I look forward to reading you wherever you are.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Let's go to, is it Rama in Gloucester. Is that how you pronounce it, Rama?
Yes, it is. How you doing, gentlemen?
Hey, Rama, how are you?
Hello?
Hello, hi, Rama. You're on the air.
Oh, yeah, okay. Sorry about the rough connection here. I'll pull over here. So, yeah, I just wanted to say, yeah, about Gordon last night. I thought he played an overall great game from, like, the passing point of view, defense. No, he didn't take a shot, maybe one towards the end. None of the guys were passing to him except for Marcus a couple of times. Marcus Smart. Jalen, no freaking way is he passing Gordon the ball. Jason Tatum, no freaking way is he passing Gordon the ball. I don't know why. There's something they have against Gordon Hayward. Obviously, maybe because he started right at the, you know, at the beginning of the season, and they didn't. So, or at least Jaylen Brown did, or whatever.
Well, maybe it's simply that, you know, Brad allows those guys. Maybe it's just simple as the sort of hypocrisy or conundrum, whatever you want to call it, that a young guy is trying to find his offense. So when he gets the ball and gets a shot that he thinks he can make, which might be any shot right now, he's going to take that shot. They're not going to go around and wait for 17 seconds off the shot clock to do that. I'm going to get my offense. I'm going to get mine because that's how this team's going to win, and that's how I fit in. And I'm younger, and I got to prove that to myself. Well, maybe it's not so much anti-Gordon Hayward.
Here, now, this is the first time I'll tell you I'm giving you the definition of a true hot take, which is something I've just made up off the top of my head. And based on Rama's call, maybe this is a
mutiny. You made up hot takes, or you made up this
hot take? This is the definition of a hot take. This is me saying something that just came to my head with no grounding in any information I have. It is pure speculation.
Do we need like an open, or do we need some like flashing lights? Hot take approaching from Evan Drellick.
No, I think the weekday programming is just this is standard practice.
Let me just do this. Ladies and gentlemen, please pay attention. Hot take from Evan Drellick.
There's a mutiny here where Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have agreed that they're not going to do anything in their power to make Gordon Hayward look good. They want to go back to last year. They want the ball. They want Gordon Hayward gone. They don't like Brad Stevens and the favoritism he has shown to Gordon Hayward.
That is
Brown
Evan
and Tatum
Drellick,
versus Gordon Hayward right here,
formerly
folks.
Of MSNBC Boston.
MSNBC Sports Boston.
Formerly of the Boston Herald. Formerly of the Drellick family. Formerly of WEN. Hot take. There you go.
It's a mutiny.
We got to take a break. When we come back, Fred and Maryland and Alex in a car. You think that's Alex Cora calling from Fort Myers?
I think it's Alex Reamer, actually.
Oh, okay. We'll be back with those calls and more right after this.
It's almost like Kyrie is Fortnite for the Red Sox.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Sports Radio Network.
This is not Bruce.
No. It's okay. Springsteen could play this if he wanted.
It's another great New York metro area artist, though.
Who is it?
Jay-Z.
Oh.
Who is it, Butch?
Yeah, oh, come on. Jay-Z.
You really think Butch would know?
I mean, I thought Butch was cool. I guess not. Well,
Butch is cool.
Shoot. I was a DJ in college.
You know, Butch is cool in the same way Kyrie's a leader. He's a leader in some respects.
Wow. I'm just going to let...
He's a leader some ways, but not always.
Alex in a car. I'm going to let that go, Evan. We're having too good a time today. Go ahead, Alex. What's on your mind, my friend?
Right? Hey, guys. How you doing? Listen, to me, this doesn't surprise me at all what's going on with the Celtics when it comes to chemistry. This was established last year. These guys went to the Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Gordon was out all year long. Kyrie was gone for a good portion of the end of the second half of the season. They found success. I think Jaylen Brown, if my memory serves me right, was the leading scorer on the Celtics overall throughout the playoffs. It wasn't a fluke that they won those games and got the Game 7. They played team basketball. And that whole thing with all those guys, they were a rookie team.
Alex, what are you doing here? You're killing us. Talk into the phone, please.
I'm sorry it's a bad connection, but I'm just saying that this isn't a surprise. Kyrie Irving needed to take the step up and work with these guys. And I think Kyrie Irving was.
So why isn't it a surprise? Why weren't you like everybody else that they went to Game 7 without two of their best players? They got two of them back, so obviously they're going to be better. That's what everybody felt.
Because there would be a chemistry problem. Those guys think that they were good enough to be starters, and they're putting.
Oh, so you knew this all along? You knew this was going to happen?
I knew it last year. You didn't think there was going to be a problem with Kyrie Irving, Gordon?
No, back no, I didn't. I thought, like everybody else, they were only going to get better.
Yeah, but it's natural. Those guys think that they can get to Game 7. They can get to the finals without those guys. I'm not saying they're right or wrong, but they're playing basketball, and they believe in those things. Now, listen, Paul George took a whole year to recover from the same exact injury that Gordon Hayward had.
Yep, so it wasn't the same exact, but yep.
It was very similar. Okay, it took him a whole year to get back. Now he's trying to come back, and you have all these egos that are trying to sit there and want the ball. And a lot of those guys play that same position: Tatum and Brown and Hayward. They're all in the same position that should be getting the ball when they think they're getting the ball.
Okay, Alex. And so what's your solution going forward?
I don't have a solution going forward. Oh. What I'm telling you right now is that
should be a writer.
Kyrie Irving. Should step up a little bit more and stop throwing them under the bus this year. I love the guy. He's a phenomenal talent. He can score 35, but just because he scores 35 in a game could be a hollow 35. He needed to work with those guys.
Yeah, you can take that too far. People are taking the dismissiveness of the stats and the numbers a little too far. We're all acknowledging the chemistry matters. Danny Ainge is saying it. Brad Stevens is saying it. All the players are saying it. Butch and Drellick are saying it. We all know the chemistry matters, but don't take that to be the talent and the ability gets overridden entirely by it, because you're going too far.
By the way, Alex wasn't exactly right. Last year's playoff stats, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown led the Celts with 16 points a game at 16. Wait a minute. Oh, no, points. Here we go. Jason Tatum led them at 18.5. Jaylen Brown at 18. So they were the two leading scorers. Terry Rozier was third, 16.5.
There's a guy. There's a real team player right there.
Him and Drew Bledsoe. Let's go to Fred in Maryland. Hi, Fred.
Hello there, guys. What's happening?
What's happening, Fred?
I have some real great thoughts. I know I'm not a genius at 88 years of age, but I have.
Fred, you're 87 last week, Fred. Did you just have a birthday?
Yes, I did.
Well, happy birthday, Fred.
When was your birthday?
Last week.
What was the date?
The 15th.
Well, congratulations, Fred.
Oh, so you forgot last week when you called. Okay, just check.
I called about is Gordon Hayward, who I happen to like very much. Why don't they try this experiment? I know it's late in the season. You know, Brad Stevens calls plays from the bench, doesn't he? Who shoots?
They don't listen to him.
Well, if they do, why don't they call more plays for him in the next three or four games? And see if he can get his act back together.
Yeah, it's a good thought.
You know, it's just a thought.
Yeah, it is a thought. I mean, I can't. Again, his agent was on here last night basically saying that you're not going to see the real Gordon Hayward until next year. It's just not going to happen.
He only shot twice last night.
I know.
And he played 20-some minutes. You mean they can't call more than two plays for him in 24 minutes?
Fred, here's the other disturbing thing. I'm going backwards the last few games. Two shots, three shots, eight shots, six shots, eight shots, 11-11.
But hey, if the guy ain't right, you don't want him taking. Look, you don't want Gordon Hayward taking shots if he's not comfortable taking those shots or if he doesn't feel right, right?
I agree with you. And let's get back to Tyree. He hasn't been that tremendous as far as a shooter in the last few games. He had a 7-point game, a 13-point game. You know, he's had some subpar games. He's not the shooter that I thought he was going to be.
Well, he's sharing the ball now, Fred. He's incorporating.
He gave out a lot of assists last night. There was, five games? And the other key to it is when Baines gets back, I think they have much better chemistry.
I think
get rid of Kyrie and let's rely on Baines.
Thanks for the call, Fred.
That's the move.
I think when Baines comes back, they're more physical, and I think that's part of it. It is. I'm caught up in these numbers now, and I'm looking at them. And what I find interesting is in 2019, Gordon Hayward started the year on January 2nd in a game against Minnesota, probably his best game of the year, where he shot 14 of 18. The next night, he took 15 shots. The next night, he took 10 shots. He also had a game in January, he had 13 shots. Another one with 10, another one with 10. We go into February, 8-6, 14, 5, 11, 11, 8, 0, 6, 8, 3, 2.
That's your phone number.
5675309, whatever. All right, we got about 5 minutes left. You've been dying to make a point about
nothing
about Bryce Harper.
Nothing. I just thought it was a funny little audio clip. If we wanted to get,
yeah, let's
it,
play.
Get it to Amy,
can we play it?
Well,
do you need a setup?
No setup.
Just
Bryce
play
Harper
it?
Audio clip. Sure, why not?
All right, so we are efforting to get you the Bryce Harper.
Philly Nation, what up? So excited to be in this hat, this uniform, and can't wait for Citizens Bank Park. So excited to see you guys on opening day, March 28th. Please be there. And can't wait to see you guys. Can't wait to hear from you guys. All right, let's go Phillies.
So if does anybody listen to that and, like, believe that, like, it's all about the city of Philadelphia? Like, dude, it's $330 million. That's why you're there. I mean, he's saying everything he has to say. We know there's only one choice there. Somebody actually has an audio clip, and maybe somebody can get this for one of the other shows tomorrow when we're back here together at 9 to 11 in the morning. Where he accidentally says, I can't wait to bring a trophy to D.C. I think he was on MLB Network.
Oh, really?
He forgot briefly.
Want to bring a title back to D.C. I want to be on Broad Street. We want to bring a title.
Oh, you have that.
I want to be on Broad
Street. That's professional producing right there.
I found it in 0.2 seconds.
Said
that's
boldly.
That's the sign of a good... Eamon made this show today. Butch, we did okay, but I think Eamon was a real star.
Hydraulic.
Boldly. I just can't believe the John Morosi story that the Dodgers reportedly offered him $45 million a year for 4 years.
Why would... You're not the only one who feels like he absolutely should have taken that, but why wouldn't you go with the guarantee? With the overall guarantee of time and money?
So,
why do you want the higher AAV? I think contracts are going to go that way, but that's going to play into teams' hand a bit. Yeah, we're not going to give you 6 years anymore. We'll pay him a little bit more per year, but you're not going to get
the reason life. You wouldn't go with it is the bird in the hand. You got $330 million versus $180 million, right? So it's $150 million more. That's the bird in the hand.
Guaranteed, Butch. What are you doing?
No, I get that. And look at Dustin Pedroia now. Right now, he's owed 3 more years at $40 million. Okay, so, and he's 35 years old, and if he was a free agent today trying to prove himself, come back, he'd get the veteran minimum at most to sign. So that contract worked out for him. So there's the bird in the hand. I get that. But $45 million a year, you'd still be a free agent again at 30 years old. Who knows where the market's going to be then?
What if we just talked about Gordon Hayward. What if he has an injury like Gordon Hayward?
So then why isn't Mookie Betts signing a long-term deal with the Red Sox?
Well, this is the same... That's exactly the question.
Because you know they've been asking him to do it.
Yeah, but they're betting on themselves when they wait.
True.
And that's why you have a lot of guys who say, screw it, I'm going to sign the early deal, get my $20 to $40 million, and maybe hit free agency later, but I want the kind of money that sets me up for life, even if it's not going to make me a gazillionaire. But you also have other guys who believe so much in their ability and their athleticism and their good fortune and all that, like Mookie Betts, who are going to take this thing to free agency. Mark my words, Mookie Betts is going to become a free agent.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. I actually know some people that know people in his agency, and there's no doubt he's going to free agency.
Yeah.
I'll be shocked if he doesn't. I don't never say never, but I'll be shocked if he signs a deal before the end of two seasons. There you go,
That's
Mark.
That's a lock. That's a lock.
There you go. We'll talk more about it. I wouldn't be shocked if the first guy the Red Sox signed this year.
Like an extension?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Is Andrew Benintendi. I would not be shocked. And that they would love to get it done. With all the other questions they have, they would like to have a known, even though they have control over him for 4 more years.
I hope the source of that is me speculating that he might have been the guy, because I had a report at one point they were talking about an extension, and I speculated, made clear I was only speculating that it was Benintendi. It proved to be Bogarts. I had a follow-up report that Bogarts was the one they were actually talking to. But
well, they
Benintendi
admitted,
is at the right point in the career to do it.
Yes.
But the issue is this
He's
year.
He's at Pedroia's point. Pedroia's in his third year, at the end of his third year, after he had already won Rookie of the Year, after he won a World Series, in the December of 2008, signed that first long-term deal. The end of that year, with 1 year left on that deal, they ripped it up and signed the 7-year, $110 million, which he's finishing out right now, with 3 more years left at $40 million.
It's not me, it's them.
Evan, good hanging with you. I hope somebody hires you, at least not by tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., because you got to come back
here.
You
got
here
two more hours of
solo.
This.
All right. Have a great Saturday night. Eamon, great job. Have a great Saturday, everybody. Hope you watch Boston 25 tonight. And Evan and I will be back at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. See ya. Hey, Alex, so what's your solution going forward?
I don't have a solution going forward. Oh. It's almost like Kyrie is Fortnite for the Red Sox.
We go into February, 8-6-14-5-11-11-8-0-6-8-3-2.
That's your phone number.
5-6-7-5-3-0-9, whatever.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.